This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, good morning. Hey, thanks for taking part of your Saturday to join us here to talk about the world of golf. We bring it to you from a Chicago area perspective. The show is Golfers on Golf Radio. As the intro said, here in studio, I'm Ed Stevenson, PGA professional with the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County, Gorses. That's the Preserve at Oak Meadows, Maple Meadows, and Green Meadows. And kind of an exciting week here. Joining us, part of our group, is, as always, is Rory Spears, who is live on site a little west of here. He's out at Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, and a lot more on that, of course, in the hour ahead. And we have the Illinois Golf Hall of Famer, Len Zien, who is not west, he's further south, but spending some time because, guys, it's not that often that we get to have a professional, men's professional golf tournament here in Chicago. Longtime listeners have heard that a lot. There's been no shortage of discussion about the LIV Tour and its impact and dialogue it's creating within the world of golf, but right here, it's in our own backyard in Sugar Grove. I think we have 9 of the top 50 players in the world competing. So lots to think about and talk about, especially if you are a fan of professional golf, and we are here. So good morning, Len. How are you this morning?
Oh, I tell you, I'm excited about what's going on back there at Rich Harvest. I've been watching the LIV Tour via YouTube at the last all their tournaments, at least for some of them, and I was tuned in, of course, all day yesterday. So here right now, we are driving through the panhandle of Florida to a very a golf destination in the Gulf Shores, Alabama, that we've really been looking forward to writing about. So that's where we're headed. But my heart will be out to what's going on at Rich Harvest. I mean, it was a wonderful round by Dustin Johnson yesterday, and I thought that Rich Harvest, you know, it hasn't had that much time on TV, but I thought it looked beautiful from what we could see there. So it's a big day.
Well, Len, I know you've been tuned in this, you know, era we live in, of being able to stream events and watch remotely from anywhere, including the Florida Panhandle. And Rory Spears, you saw it not via TV. You saw it firsthand. I know you've been on site for the event, and hey, we're looking forward to hearing your insights. What can you tell us from Sugar Grove this morning, Rory Spears?
Well, believe it or not, Ed Stevenson, I drove out here and got in the area here about 9:15, and shortly after, actually, the parking lots opened and stuff, and I thought I'd zip right in, but had probably 150 cars in front of me trying to make it down the road to the various parking lots, and was surprised to see how many people were here already. Don't get me wrong, last year I was at the Ryder Cup up at Whistling Straits in September, and no, it's not going to be right, that size of crowd, but you're not going to have 20,000 people there knocking on the door as soon as they open. But yesterday, I think attendance was better than I expected. No, there wasn't 15,000-20,000 people here. But, I've seen low attendance figures back at the BMW Championship when it was in September at Cog Hill during the week. Of course, the weather was maybe not as good those weeks. Nice day yesterday and plenty of opportunities here for people to get outside and walk around. And, you know, Rich Harvest Farms is spread out over a lot of acres, so there's plenty of areas to walk and grab your favorite beverage and something to eat and wander all over the property to watch golf, because there's golf going on every hole with the shotgun format that they have here. So I know that I talked with Tim Cronin, the Illinois golfer who joined us last week, longtime attendance guy like myself, and we put some of our theories in. And I know there was a report earlier in the week that they had only sold 1,500 tickets for yesterday, and I thought maybe we'd only see 2,500 people. But between players, workers, volunteers, fans, media, and so forth, Tim and I put the number between 7,000 and 8,000 out here yesterday, and not a bad number for a relatively new event. And given the fact that Rich Harvest Farms isn't exactly around the corner from the big population center of the city of Chicago, but not bad for its initial debut here in the market, Ed.
Well, indeed, not sure anytime there's something new, you don't know, you know, what to expect. And, of course, remains to be seen. There was no Thursday, right, to give us a lead into what we might see as attendance at most of these professional events tends to ramp up as you head towards the weekend. Now we head into the weekend. The weather continues to be gorgeous. And perhaps also a deliberate thought in the scheduling, or maybe just serendipitous, is that the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers don't play until Sunday night. So certainly we've seen even at past events for the BMW where the NFL can take a bite out of the local attendance depending on scheduling. So what would your expectations be going into, based on what you saw yesterday, what are your expectations going into the weekend? And I guess you got a bit of a preview with some cars lined up getting into the site this morning, Rory.
I still believe that today will be the large attendance day, whatever that number turns out to be. There's still just a lot of people that enjoy watching the NFL on Sundays because of their bets or their fantasy leagues. There's a lot of people in Chicago who might be fans of teams in other places. And at least the Bear fans have a chance to come out here, or any Packer fans that live in the state of Illinois. There's plenty of time to get out here and see all of the action and get home in time for the game, being the fact that it's on Sunday Night Football. So that really will help this event a bit, but I still wouldn't be surprised if today is the day where we see the largest attendance. The weather is really nice right now. It was 76 degrees when I pulled in. It's supposed to go up into the 80s, but I think that people will be out here today, especially after they learn a little bit more of what's happened the last couple of days. There was 1,500 people that came out on Thursday for the Pro-Am. So obviously there was some celebrities and people like that, sports athletes, that were playing in it. Some of them, of course, members here at Rich Harvest Farms. But I will say this: it sounds like so far it's been a great week for everybody that's been here.
Well, Len, you know, decades of being a journalist and seeing so many different things in the sports world. This event's interesting. It has to be interesting from a journalist perspective because there's so many different storylines to really look at, cover, and think about. There's, you know, we're at a venue that there's really not been a men's professional event played before here in Chicago. So there's a story about the venue itself, which is very interesting with Jerry Rich as the owner, and a lot of backstory there. Storylines can always include the weather, which Rory said is great. Of course, the fan experience, which we know is a little bit different with the LIV Tour than it has been with the PGA Tour or some other events. And then, of course, there's the golf itself. Let's not forget about that. As a journalist, Len, where do you pick sifting through all these storylines, including we know there's some controversy, of course, too, just about change in the world of professional golf?
Yeah, I wanted to address this this whole thing as from the standpoint of it being a fledgling golf league. The fledgling golf, it's a new thing. It's very new, and the concept that they brought to golf, I think, is a lot of there's a lot of things that I like there. I know golf is a very traditional sport, you know, we heard people criticize Paul the Live Tour and exhibition. Well, they're number one, to me, exhibition isn't a dirty word, and number two, this is hardly an exhibition when you got the players and the prize money and offered here. Now, I think they broken in some real new ground by
by going to a shotgun format, and I think it helps the TV coverage as well as the fan experience, because you can wander out there. Now, that's why we won't see, what we won't see, for better or worse, is a big contingent of people at one spot on the course. Number one, Rich Harvest is so big, there's so much extra space there. The fans aren't going to be able to spread out, and the fact that they're going to all different holes, that's going to spread them out even more. So it'll be a nice viewing experience, I think. I think the shotgun format, I mean, it's been used in all kinds of social events. It makes a lot of sense, and I think it's a real good thing that it's being tried here on the Pro Tour. So, you know, there's so much that shakedown that we're going to learn in the next few months from all the tours. But, you know, this is really a breakthrough year for professional golf, for the industry of professional golf. It's a fascinating time, and I'm glad to be part of it. I'm excited about where things are headed. I'm not sure I exactly know where they're headed, but I think some good things are going to come out of all this.
Well, you know, it's a great point, Len, about the kind of the crowd and the contingent that's going to be, you know, following the leaders. Of course, yesterday in day one, the leaders could be anywhere, and then you know, as you get repairings in your typical PGA Tour event. We know that going into the weekend, you're going to have the leaders teeing off last. Rory, I would ask you, what time will the leaders tee off? But, of course, they're teeing off the same time as everybody else today.
Yeah, well, they're all going to go at 12:15 this afternoon like they did yesterday. And, you know, there is some positive to the shotgun start. It seems like play moves a lot quicker. I thought the round went faster yesterday than I expected it to. But, you know, from the working side of it as a media person, you know, you want to talk to certain guys, and guys finish at different times on the PGA Tour. But here, everybody finishes at the same time. And so, you know, all of a sudden there's 48 guys, you know, showing up. And, you know, to me, it reminded me of days, you know, I'd go out to Arlington Park and cover the Million, and all the jockeys would dismount off the horses pretty much at the same time. And if you had a field of 12 or 14 guys, and say it's Arlington Million Day, or when the year they had the Breeders' Cup out there, you're all these guys are like racing past you at the same time. And you're just trying to run from person to person. Now, the LIV Golf communications staff has did a nice job of getting a majority of the major players in. Of course, Dustin Johnson came in and spoke first because he's leading the tournament. But right behind him was Matt Wolf and Cam Smith and Phil Mickelson. Of course, most media people will tell you we don't like having a whole panel of people up at the interview table at once because it can get a little confusing. And, you know, there's different questions for different guys. And or if you have one guy that's getting all the questions, the other guys are sitting there doing nothing. So yesterday, we had that, but some of the players were walking around and were approachable on the pathway between the interview tent and the pavilion building here at Rich Harvest Farms, where they have the cottages and different things like that and some of the operations areas. But, you know, it's an interesting concept, but it does seem to speed up the day a little bit. And I think you know, for days, and, you know, Len can attest to this, and, you know, Tim Cronin, there was days all three of us had to be out at Cog Hill at 6:50 in the morning because you wanted to watch the first tee shot go off. And, you know, I remember the year that they sent Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson both out at 7 a.m. And, you know, there was massive miles of, you know, traffic jams trying to get into Cog Hill at 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, that's not always the most enjoyable thing if you've been there and you've been working, you know, late at night to have to turn around and come back that early to see certain players. So 12:15, would I like to see it started a little earlier? Yeah, I would. But, you know, there are worse things, and it's nice not to have to get up at 5 a.m. to get out here in time to see the first tee shot.
Right.
Yeah, and I would throw this in there. The I wish I was seeing this. Rory, you can attest to it. But from what I understand, the live format opens the gates for like 3 or 4 hours before the first ball is going to be hit and all the tees. And they have a very interesting fan experience there. Games, food courts, music. In other words, it should space out to somewhat the arrival of everybody who won't be rushing in there just to get to see the first ball hit on every hole, and it should alleviate a traffic problem. I'm hoping that was what was working out, because it seems like a good idea to me.
Well,
Len and Ed, let me say this. Yeah, the gates here open at 9 a.m. for a 12:15 start, and there are plenty of things going on off the golf course for the fans, or do you call them patrons, to participate in. And you know what? If people are watching right now online and they're saying, well, geez, it doesn't look like there's many people out there. Well, part of that is because Rich Harvest is spread out over so many acres, unlike a lot of other golf courses. But there's so many other things for people to do when they're not up along the ropes on the holes. And so you wouldn't believe how many people are partaking in other activities here on the grounds. And, you know, they're watching golf for a while, and then they're going and playing in putting contests and chipping contests and going in the tent. There's foosball games, air hockey games, putting contests that were indoors. And there's just a lot of different things to do. And, of course, at the end of play each day last night and tonight, we have some concerts here. So people are sticking around and having a beverage and watching the concert.
Well, you know, I know we've talked on this show, guys, about, you know, any time in professional sports, there has been a competitor or a new league. Certainly, we've seen them try to introduce some things that are different. And in some ways, they have to differentiate themselves. Certainly, the shotgun start, some of the team format for play. But, you know, as we're talking about fan experience, John Dietz, in his article in the Daily Herald this morning, was talking about it, a bit of what you've just been mentioning, but talking about music blaring through the stands. And instead of the traditional quiet sign that might be held up while a player is over their shot or putting, the sign reads, zip it. Are you, certainly a little bit less of what I think in the past has been perceived as a stuffy edge to golf. This is a little bit more, less necktie and a little more open collar, Rory, from the fan experience, you think?
Well, it's amazing. There are people that brought that up in the press briefing, is that, there is music in the background. And if you're on certain holes, yeah, the players can hear it. And, you know, a lot of different tournaments, there's always been noise in the background, but this is sort of pumped in noise. But we've seen some of the great tournaments of the year, major championships, also the tour events where you're near an airport and planes are constantly going overhead, making noise. Trains, you know, especially the Open Championship. How many of those great courses, the way to get out to those courses years ago from the cities was to come out on the rail and trains go by. Olympia Fields had trains going right by the first tee, 100 feet away, when the 2003 U.S. Open was there and the 97 Senior Open was there. So, there's plenty of noise out there from different things. Some courses have interstates that run next to them, and cars and trucks are going by, and people see the players and they're honking their horns as they drive by. So, you know, there's different things. And the music, well, yeah, it's louder when you get up towards the buildings and away from the golf course. But yeah, there's no doubt on some of the holes the players can hear it and fairly well.
Len, I know you've been watching this remotely. You're getting more of the experience that most fans around the world will get, which is the streaming audience and the internet's view of this event. And that's a little bit different than the traditional broadcast as well, from what I understand. What have you seen, Len, and what have you observed from the broadcast side of things that has been a little different or you've liked?
Yeah, it's interesting. The Live Tour definitely has got to get a TV contract, and I'm sure it will. Although what I've seen isn't all bad. I do like the graphics. They give you more information on a strip down the left side of the screen than you get in any of the networks covering the PGA Tour or any other American Tour. And that's a positive. You can see your old leaderboard and where every player is, and sometimes it's a little hard to, they have to abbreviate some of the names, and it's a little hard to pick out the guy you might be looking for. But I think that looks good. Now, what's lacking here is, of course, other than David Faraday, the crew that they're using for the YouTube broadcast says they're different, way different, and it's a little sophomoric, I think. They need a little more of it. They don't have their act together yet for the TV on-air talent. It's helped for them that Bubba Watson couldn't play, and they put him on the broadcast team, and he wanders around and does some interviews with players, which is a little easier to relate to him talking to Brooks Koepka and stuff like that than the gang that they have. That they seem very inexperienced, but that's a correctable thing. I mean, it's all a new thing, and I think that can be taken care of. I really do. I think it's the shotgun format is excellent for the broadcasting side. You move around much faster. I think it's overall a huge positive. I think they just need to maybe be a little more pay a little more attention to what they want their on-air talent to say and to do. And I think we'll see differences as we go along. What's going to be interesting right now is this is the last American tournament until the final. There's three tournaments in a row on foreign soil, and I'm suspecting there will be quite a different feel right then and there. So, this is it's an evolution almost every week. In the case here, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they're in the other countries.
It's 10:23 here on WNDZ, the show's Golfers on Golf. And in studio, I'm Ed Stevenson. I'm joined by Len Zeme and Rory Spears. We're talking about professional golf being played right here west of Chicago. A lot of eyes on the LIV Tour. Lots of discussion, and it means a lot of eyes on Rich Harvest Farms. Not a lot of people in the Chicago area have had a chance to experience Rich Harvest Farms. Even fewer have played it. Certainly high-profile events in the past have included a Solheim Cup. Here we have men's golf being played at a course setup, I believe, just around 7,400 yards. And Rory, being on site, you are maybe more familiar with Rich Harvest Farms than many golfers might be, particularly public golfers in the Chicago area. But for those that remember it from prior tournament golf being played there, set up at this length or any changes, how is the course maybe a little different than what they've seen in the past?
Well, one of the great things about Rich Harvest Farms is that it gets better all the time. And, I've played courses where you like them the first time, and every time you go back, maybe you don't like them so as much as you did initially. Rich Harvest Farms, when I first came out here, it had some quirks to it. There's no doubt about that. Jerry Rich designed it, but he wanted to design his own course, but he really had no background in designing golf courses. He was an amateur architect, but a lot of people will tell you he did a pretty good job putting it together. Greg Martin, our good friend, was here for part of it, giving Mr. Rich some advice, but I'll tell you this, there was people said, well, one of the holes, the tee boxes, you're teeing off a mat. And that's true. It was, but they have phased that out. They opened up that area, a lot more so that the grass would grow and it didn't die all the time and the mats are gone. There was a hole that had a tree right in the middle of a fairway that wasn't very wide, and they didn't want to get rid of it for a long time because the great Sam Snead played here and hit one right down the middle, and the ball stuck right in the tree. And so it was it had a plaque and everything out there, but that tree died and it has been removed. And over the years, some of the trees have come down. Some of the areas have been opened up a little bit. But they've changed some things around the greens. After the Solheim Cup, Jerry Rich sort of blew up his own golf course a little bit when it came to the bunkers and the greens and how they were shaped and the grass that was put in. And so Rich Harvest Farms continues to get better. And I know even Beth Daniel, when she was the captain of the Solheim Cup, told me, she says, "I keep threatening Jerry. Tell him one night when he's sleeping, I'm going to go out there with my chainsaw and I'm going to take out some of his trees." And, you know, Jerry would laugh when he'd hear that. But, you know, Jerry's late wife, Betty, who passed away a few years back, you know, she loved her trees and she never wanted to see any trees taken out. And sadly, when she passed away, though, Jerry did give his crew a little more freedom and in removing some of the trees that people would always complain about over the years. So as a result, there's a little more room to work the golf ball around Rich Harvest Farms, which, by the way, is playing at 7,406 yards for this week. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of these players the last couple days, and a majority of them have not been here before. They came in and some played nine holes Tuesday, nine holes Wednesday, jumped in the Pro-Am and said, let's go hit it. So, you know, there was a real lack of familiarity with this golf course for a majority of the players. Bryson DeChambeau actually played here in the 2015 Western Amateur that had, you know, one of the great finishes ever in the Western Amateur, a whole bunker shot in a playoff to win the tournament. But outside of Bryson, who said it was a great tune-up for him because a couple weeks later he went to Olympia Fields and he won the U.S. Amateur there. So he had some he was familiar with the golf course, and but even though it had been 7 years since he'd been here, he said, yeah, there are places it's a little bit different.
Well, you know, even without maybe a huge depth of familiarity like one might have with a tour stop that they play year in and year out, certainly that didn't slow down Dustin Johnson. He continues to seem to be playing at maybe a bit of a different level than some of the other players in the field, you know, strolling through at 9-under in round one. Did you get a sense, either Len or Rory, from watching this, about the LIV's perspective on course setup? We know the USGA likes to make it a tough test of golf for events like U.S. Open and any of their national championships. Yet other times we know fans like seeing birdies. You know, pin placements and tee placements, not just length, but a lot of things about course setup can help dictate whether it's going to be a grind or be a chance to show off some of the skills and the low scores. Which way do you think course setup led itself, and have you heard any indication of where it might go as we head into maybe a championship Sunday?
Well, let me start, and then I'm gonna throw it to Len. But you know, yeah. I talked to Dustin Johnson about the setup, and I asked him if there was a key stretch of holes that you need to take advantage of here in order to go low. And, you know, he told me, he says, well, it really starts like it does most weeks is on the par fives. And, you know, I asked him if he could, how many of those par fives could he reach in two? And he said, actually, he felt all of them, but there was a couple times that he missed the fairway and said, well, as a result, I didn't leave myself in position to go for them in two. But yeah, realistically, he felt if he'd have hit a really great drive on all four of the par fives here that he could have gone for all of them in two. But and then he got to a point he was playing pretty well, and there was no reason to, you know, really gamble to get back into the tournament a little bit, or the need. And we forget about this here a little bit, but there's a team competition going on out here, and it's a really good source of encouragement for the players even if they're having a bad day, to try to hang in there and, you know, support the team score, because there's some good money to be made there as well. I mean, we talk about the four, you know, players here. There's four players in this field. The top four finishers will win over $1 million this week. $4 million to the winner, $21,25 second place, $1,005,000 for third, and $1,050,000 for fourth place. And the fifth place finisher almost makes $1 million at $975,000. But with that, I'm going to throw it to Len Zeem. But yeah, I don't know if they plan to toughen up the pin placements this weekend or not.
Well, you know, I tell you one thing that I thought this. I don't know if Jerry Rich will take issue with this. He might. My feeling with the, you know, he's brought so many good events to Rich Harvest. I mean, I was there for an NCAA championships, a Palmer Cup, Western Amateurs, the Solheim Cup. That's all been well and good. It's been great to bring that. His course has been well received in the polls. It's been a top 100 course. But, you know, I think that Rich Harvest needed to have this caliber of player tested in competition. The men's tour is the last niche to see just how it would play for the very best players in the game. And I think it held up for one day. It did just fine, but I think the tour players are going to get more and more used to it in the next 2 days. And from what I gather, and this is all unofficial, but it wouldn't be a bit surprised if it comes back to Rich Harvest again next year. I mean, it was interesting that the LIV Tour has put out a tentative schedule for next year, in which they'll have 14 tournaments instead of 8, and there will tentatively be one in Chicago in September. So it would, I think that Rich Harvest may have found a whole new niche for itself as a golf course on a worldwide venue.
All right. Well, we heard it from Len Zeem, a little speculation that a toehold or niche in Chicago for LIV Golf going to the future. More talk about the future of LIV Golf in just a little bit. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com.
All right, we're back. The show's Golfers on Golf Radio. And in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, joined by journalists Len Zeme and Rory Spears. We've been talking about professional golf being played in the far western suburbs today. Nine of the 50 top-ranked players in the world, part of the LIV event at Rich Harvest Farms. And, you know, guys, every golfer I know is always thinking about the next shot or starting to think about the next round they're going to play. And even when they're mid-round, even sometimes when they're mid-swing. And a little bit before the break, you know, Len Zeme was speculating a bit about future for this tournament and a return to Chicago. And I'll ask you, Rory Spears, you're there on site. And while everyone is soaking in what's happening now, what is some of the speculation or conversation about the future of this tour, this tournament, and the future schedule?
Well, I'll tell you this, Ed. The schedule will expand to more events next year. I believe they're up to 14. They've still got three more to go after this week. There's a trip to the Far East, there's a trip to the Middle East, and then down to Doral in Florida for the Tour Championship at the end of October. Maybe by then we can get Lenny over there to cover in person. But there's going to be more tournaments. There'll be more tournaments next year. And here's what I do know. We have seen some tentative postings of what the schedule could be out there, but nothing is official until about the first or second week of November is when the official schedule will come out, I'm told, by the Live Golf people. I'm also told by multiple sources that not only will there be a tournament in Chicago next year, I'm also told it is likely, not 100%, but likely, probably 98%, that it is coming back to Rich Harvest Farms next year. Mr. Rich has told me that Live Golf is welcome to come back if they want to, and it appears at this point that they do. The dates, they could change. Nothing is being ruled out at this point. I've seen reports that Boston, that was on Labor Day weekend this year, may not be back. That's not 100%. You would think Liv would reevaluate that because they had such a good turnout. But this event could move up a couple of weeks. It could be potentially Labor Day weekend, or August is not out of the question. Now, don't forget, we have a rare appearance by the BMW Championship about the third week at Olympia Fields next year. Would they go head-to-head? No, I don't think they will, but not 100% out of the question is the potential for this tournament to be either on the front end or the back end before the BMW Championship next year, or maybe even 2 weeks apart. But I think this tournament will likely be back at Rich Harvest Farms, and I think it'll be potentially anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks sooner than the dates they had this year.
Well, guys, I know one of the, I think, most recognized names that currently is a part of the LIV Tour, even to the casual golfer, everybody's heard of Phil Mickelson. I know, Rory, you had the chance to catch up with Phil Mickelson a little bit. You mentioned Medina before. You mentioned the BMW Championship, which actually was last at Medina. last time it was in Chicago, anyway. And I know you had a chance to speak.
Actually, Ed, it was at Olympia Fields. It just
of course
saw it because of COVID.
During COVID, of course. Yeah, the last time galleries were out there, it was at Medina.
Yeah,
and
that was at Medina.
Was that 18 or 19, Rory?
19 at Medina and 20 at Olympia Fields. And you know, it's nice to see the Olympia Fields folks getting a mulligan here, because they put a lot of work into that championship, and then nobody saw it. You know, very few people were on the grounds because of the COVID situation, and so Olympia Fields deserves to have a big audience when the tournament returns next year.
Well, I know as part of your time out at Rich Harvest Farms, you chatted a little bit with Phil Mickelson, and let's take a moment to hear his comments.
Pretty special moment for me personally. The first major I ever played in, the U.S. Open 1990, watching Hale Irwin. You know, I was actually participating in that. Kind of dates me, but I've had a lot of really great moments here in Chicago and major championship golf. And I think it's fun to be back in this area, because it's really a community that supports the game well.
So do you have any course that you think should be every year?
I mean, there's a lot of great ones. We have the Walker Cup at Chicago Golf Club. I mean, that's obviously one of the five original clubs. Medina obviously is terrific. This place has really been nice. And we had the BMW at Conway Farms. That was a fun course. I mean, there's a lot of great golf here in Chicago. So more than that, though, the people really support the game. And I'm glad that we're back here.
Phil, do you know about the big renovation starting at Medina 3?
I don't know.
It's going to look a lot different than what you remember. The next
really?
Time you're there.
Is Gil Hance doing it?
No.
Who's doing it?
OCM. Jeff
okay.
Ogilvie's firm.
Yeah, they've been doing some great work. So that's great. I mean, it's a great routing, and some of the courses that have been getting updated. I just played Los Angeles Country Club holding U.S. Open next year that Gil did, and some of these courses have been just renovated so beautifully and brought back to the original kind of design that it's really a treat to play. And I'm curious to see what he comes up with Medina, because it's such a great routing. You know, you don't have to do a lot to that golf course. It's already pretty great.
Well, Justin shot 25 under, so it took about a month to have a meeting to say we got to do something, and it will look a lot different.
Yeah, yeah. You throw soft greens, though, on any golf course, and these guys are going to light it up, but it's still a fun place to play.
Right, so that was Phil Mickelson speaking with our very own Rory Spears and others, and talking about golf in Chicago, professional golf in Chicago, tournament golf in Chicago, and certainly some history of it here. Although, you know, Len Zeme, really since the days of the Beatrice Western Open and other sponsors that, you know, always we could look forward to somewhere around that 4th of July week, we just haven't had the steady presence of professional golf here in Chicago. And, you know, perhaps LIV is a presence that would be a little bit more consistent. And with all the venues that Phil Mickelson mentioned, Len, why do you think we haven't been able to just maintain something on a regular basis right here close to the Chicago metropolitan area?
Well, I tell you, it's been missed. The regular tournaments have really been missed. We've had very good amateur tournaments. I think obviously one reason is the Western Golf Association, which ran the Western Open and the BMW, that still runs the BMW tournament. It's been successful financially in taking that tournament to other sites around the country in an effort to raise more funds for its Heaven Scholars program. It's a tough, there's a lot of people that want to have golf. I think it's a shame that Chicago has been a victim here. I'm hoping that the LIV Tour does return. I'm expecting it to. I'm expecting it to be at Rich Harvest. My feeling is I would hope that they would get something more into July, a little earlier than in August. You know, it was such a perfect marriage there when the Western Open was at Cog Hill on over 4th of July weekend for so many years there. That would be a dream if we could get back there. I know that that'll be a problem with the John Deere Classic having early July dates too, but you know, there's got to be a way to work this out, and it could be we could get some help from from the one of the other tours. I mean, the women's tour has been talking about bringing back its version of the Western, women's Western Open. I don't know whether that'll happen, but it's a possibility. Anything to get things back to where they once were. I don't think we'll ever have it quite as good as we had it for all those years with the Western Open, but we can only hope.
We can hope indeed. And Rory, I know you as one of the guys who truly likes to get boots on the ground and make it out to the events, whether it's amateur golf, professional golf, whether it's state championships from our various associations. You've had concerns about scheduling, there being a bit of a feast or famine. And as you think about timing and where those best windows are for some of those opportunities for Chicago sports fans, if you could wave your wand and be the scheduler of some upcoming seasons, where would you tuck in the prime events, and where do you think there's maybe a void for the perfect weekend to fit into a Chicago golf schedule?
Well, I can tell you this. The BMW getting moved up to August from September was huge for them. And, you know, they said at the time, they said, well, we're going to be able to be played now before kids are back in school. And, yeah, they are played to an extent before, shall we say, the local grade schools and high schools start. But, unfortunately, it seems like during tournament week, the college group is already headed back to whatever school or university they're attending. It would be great if the BMW next year was at least 1 to 2 weeks sooner. I like John Deere where they're at, 2 weeks now in front of the British Open or Open Championship. But there's other events as well. There's a stretch in July where there's just too much stacked on top of each other. And unfortunately, that month's going to get a little more crowded when the WGA's Korn Ferry event, the NV5 Invitational, moves over there right into the middle of everything else that's going on at the end of July. And, you know, I can understand them moving. They've had terrible luck with the weather on Memorial Day weekend over at the Glen Club, which has been a great host for the event. But you would love to see those players, especially when they come in from somewhere a little warmer and the weather's a little nicer, and they get up here, and there's always one day where they're out there in full jackets and rain suits and all weather gear, and you know, it's 50 something and it's raining, and it's not always great. But it would be fun to see if we could have the Korn Ferry event in June, John Deere in July, the BMW in August, and then some of the weeks in between, you get the majors from the Illinois PGA, the CDGA with the state amateur, of course, the Illinois Women's Open out at Mistwood, and sort of spread some of these tournaments out. I wouldn't mind one tournament every week. Some of the tournaments that take place like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then you can run from one right to the other. You know, that maybe starts on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But, you know, this week, trying to juggle the Mid-Am, the University of Illinois Collegiate Invitational at Olympia Fields, this tournament, the WWGA luncheon in town. And, yeah, it's a luncheon, but there's always news. They give away a great honor. This year, Judy Rankin, a longtime golfer and broadcaster, was honored. And it gets to be too much packed into 1 week. And, of course, as Len kind of alluded to there, some news maybe coming out of that luncheon. It sounds like the folks in the Western Golf Association, along with their partners at the Women's Western Golf Association, are maybe trying to work with the new commissioner at the LPGA and see if they can bring back what was once one of the great tournaments of the LPGA, the Women's Western Open. And, you know, if there's some years where the men's professional golf isn't here, it would be nice to see the LPGA here. Of course, somebody also needs to give a little kick in the backside to both the USGA and the PGA of America. It seems like other than some qualifiers, both of those organizations have nothing planned in the Chicago area for several years ahead.
Well, it was very interesting to hear in your discussion with Phil Mickelson. He tipped the cap to Chicago Golf, which has obviously just an amazing history. One of the original five founding members of the USGA. And I know there's been some speculation locally that they'd love to really get their hat back in the ring for some type of USGA championship. So we know those get planned pretty well in advance. So, you know, short of any rumblings either of you guys are hearing, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see the USGA back here really anytime all that soon.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we're going to see much of them. I was surprised, especially it's been going on for a few years here, that we don't even get a sectional qualifier for the U.S. Open. That used to be a really quite a good event to go out and cover. That was the last stage for guys getting into the U.S. Open. That was a tournament fixture that went on for years and years and years. And for some reason, it got pulled and is held elsewhere now. And the women's sectional for the U.S. Open has been held at in Long Grove for quite a few years, but you know, it doesn't seem to have cut in the traction that the men's has. So I don't know where we head with the USGA. We can only keep pressuring him and show him that we want him back here as soon as we can.
Well, it would be great to have a crystal ball. One thing I do know without gazing in the crystal ball is that, you know, following this broadcast and as the LIV event wraps up, I know, Rory, you'll be doing what you always do. You'll be continuing the coverage through golfersongolf.com. And I'm expecting that probably in the week ahead, your readers, our listeners, can look forward to some audio posted there as well with some of the conversations you've had or will have over the next 2 days. You had a chance to talk to Dustin Johnson. I know you were going to allude to that a bit. I know we're not playing that one at this time, but any highlights further from what Dustin Johnson had to say, who, again, is our leader right now after shooting a 63 yesterday?
Well, after his win in Boston, and then, of course, the way he won was pretty dramatic. One of maybe the first great moments in LIV Golf in the years that go forward. People are going to look back at that, I think, and see it as a one of the first clips that you're going to watch and realize that there's some excitement in these events. You know, you get people, misguided people out there who say, oh, well, it's just a golf exhibition. Well, no, it isn't. And so, you know what, he comes here, he goes and shoots 63 the first day on a golf course that he doesn't know very well. And, you know, I asked him about that, and he said, well, my game's in good shape right now. And you know what? Whether it's the layoffs that some of these guys get between tournaments, maybe they're in a little better shape when they show up to play. And that's another thing about this field. You know, there's only so many members of LIV Golf right now, but all the big names that you would want to see, anybody that you've heard of that's jumped over here that you say, well, you know, gosh, I love watching that guy play. They're all here. Everybody's here. And you know, Len can attest to this. How many tournaments have we covered over the years? And the talk is more so of who's not here. You know, this guy's not here and that guy's not here. And, you know, the PGA Tour events out there, you know, they're always looking to see who's here and who isn't. And sometimes you wonder why certain guys aren't there. But they will tell you you can't play every week, and you can't. And so guys make out their schedule, what's best for them. In some cases, their family. You know, some guys travel with their family, their wives, their girlfriends, their kids, whatever it may be. And they want to go to places that set up best for them, or they don't have to travel as far to get to. So anyway, it seems like the one thing I've noticed here, and it's hard not to notice in some cases, it seems like most of the guys have their wives or girlfriends here. You know, I walked out of the press tent and the other day, and a dog jumped on me. And while I was petting the dog, I realized the person who had the leash on the dog was Brooks Koepka's wife, Jenna Sims Koepka. And so we stood and talked for a little bit about the dog.
And you got anyway, the dog's name, being the investigative journalist that you are, Rory?
I did not get the dog.
Oh, my goodness. And I put you on the spot.
Call it Brooks Jr.? Brooks Jr.? I don't know. But, you know, you wait for Dustin Johnson, and he shows up with his lovely light.
Wasn't Bryson, was it?
Daughter, Paulina Gretzky, and that he's now married to. And I can tell you, when some of these wives walk around, yeah, people notice. They do notice. And I did not see Amy Mickelson yesterday, but somebody told me that she's here. So, you know, again, scheduling travel, you know, the guys are out there with their families, and it seems to work out better for some of them.
Well, guys, the time's been flying. We're not done yet, but we are closing in on the end of our hour of golf talk. I know we're looking forward to seeing what unfolds, not only on the golf course, but really with the status and the state of professional golf here in the United States and around the globe. And Len, we appreciate you joining us from the road. Before we sign off here, any final thoughts here on Tournament Saturday from Rich Harvest Farms?
Well, I tell you, I think we're going to have some real low numbers based on the way Rich Harvest was attacked in the first round, and just looking at that and the way the weather forecast is, which is a surprise to me, because I've always felt like Rich Harvest, which, as I say, it needed to be tested by the PGA Tour to just see how hard it is, and it's difficult. It's a tough track, an interesting design, has its detractors, but I think that we're going to get a real statement here about just how good these guys are when they shoot low numbers at Rich Harvest in their first time around in the next 2 days.
Well, no doubt. And Rory Spears, with you being on site, I know you'll be getting some real statements, too. I know you've already had a chance to rub elbows and get the microphone in front of some names that we all know and have watched for a long time. Who are you hoping to talk to today, and what do you think the story will be through the weekend?
Well, it seems like we could have a shootout between Dustin Johnson and Cam Smith, the Open champion. And I'll tell you what, if those two are battling it out tomorrow, I think we're going to see some outstanding golf. Matt Wolf isn't too far back. His game seems to be rounding into shape. But, you know, I'd love to see Phil Mickelson and then some of these other guys, Brooks Koepka, get down in the 60s the next couple of days. And what we also forget here with this tour is the fact that there is a team championship going on, and there's more money for these players. And a lot of guys also seem to be enjoying the team side of things, as there's certain little bantering going back and forth on social media. And, you know, you never know, you know, how much these guys may be wagering between themselves, you know, or at least they certainly want the bragging rights, Ed.
Well, bragging rights are important, and as we are in September, guys, before I let you go and we wrap it up, certainly September's great for golf, but it is football season, too, and bragging rights between the Bears and Packers are always at stake. So we've got Sunday Night Football coming up. Switching gears completely, I'm going to ask each of you for your prediction. We'll start with you. Len, who do you like, Bears or Packers Sunday night?
Bears or Packers? Well, I think that this might be a time. The Packers didn't look very good that first week of the season. I think the Bears might be able to pull this one out. So if you need a score, it'll be won't be a lot of points up there. I think it'd be like 24-17.
I like it. Rory, how about you?
Well, I think the Packers will be pretty aggravated from how they played last week. Great win for the Bears. Some would say lucky in some ways, especially as bad as they were in the first half. But I like the Packers in a close game. I know the Bears have had some ugly national TV games where they go and lose by 30, 40 points. I don't know that they'll win, but I think they're going to keep the game close, and the game's going to be a lot better than people think it will be.
Well, I think it's been since 2015 up in Lambeau, so we'll look forward to that Sunday night. In the meanwhile, we'll look forward to seeing how the tournament unfolds at Rich Harvest Farm in Sugar Grove. On behalf of myself, Ed Stevenson, and our hosts, Len Zeem and Rory Spears, we want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in and spending part of your Saturday with us. A big thank you to our producer, Brian, for getting us out to you. And Gentlemen, I know I just got the short drive home from the studio here in Chicago, but I know both of you are a little further out and on the road. So wish you safe travels and have a great week ahead. We appreciate everyone listening to Golfers on Golf Radio.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.